Hello and welcome back to the Heart Song Yoga Podcast. I'm Kelly.
And I'm Sarah.
Today we have an exciting discussion today.
We do. We thought we'd talk about fascia today.
Which I've recently sort of dived back into. I came across some material from a dance physiotherapist of all things, and kind of got into, okay, so I always knew of the fascia, the standard description is it's like a sausage skin around your muscles, right? It's sort of like this layer of connective tissue that I always just figured was mostly structural. And I knew that it could get tight and that quite often the muscle might not be short. It might be the fascia around it. And I knew that it gets sticky. So you need to be able to, that's why you want to be able to roll your muscles and your skin, and massage is so good for it. Mm-hmm. But there's so much more to fascia than I ever realized. It's not just a sausage skin. It's actually an entire interface that connects every tissue in your body, like all your organs. Yeah. Your eyes are full of fascia. It's everywhere. It's communicative. Mm. It's not just a dumb bit of sticky stuff that holds your body together. It actually is a communication system through the body. It needs to be hydrated. It needs to be mobile. It needs to be loved.
Yes, that's a very good summary of it. And there's recent research. There's more and more research coming out all the time revealing this. And they're saying that, fascia is really a fundamental sensory system of the human body because it's full of nerve endings. Mm. And it's, as you said, Kelly, it's a communication system. And it's global. It's like this global network beneath the skin. So when you stretch your hand and open your fingers and your thumb, it's not just about what's happening in your hand, but how that's traveling through to everywhere else in your body. Everything's connected to everything. And as you said, it's also how we think about it, the thought process that we have that we're putting into the body and to how that responds as well, and also our hydration levels. So,
it has a response. It's connected to the fight or flight response as well, I believe. And what it does is it can constrict around, like, so blood, it captures blood vessels, like it's sort of around everything. So your nerves and your blood vessels are embedded in your fascia almost. Mm. And so if you're in a sudden situation where your brain, as we know, the brain perceives danger, kind of, it doesn't matter what sort of danger it is, it responds physiologically the same way to a tiger appearing as it does to someone shouting at you, and or you just being stressed about work. And so when you're in that fight or flight response, fascia is responsible for, like, it kind of clamps down almost on your, and compresses your blood vessels. So the idea being that if you get injured in a fight or in a fleeing from a physical threat, you won't bleed to death because your blood flow is constricted to some extent, like not enough obviously to cause problems, that you can still perform, you can still run, like it's designed to help you react to that threatening situation and sort of give you the best possible chance of escaping and not bleeding to death if you get injured. And so when you sort of think about it like that, that makes sense. But then if we're in a constant state of fight or flight due to a high stress lifestyle, which many of us are, then your body's constantly in this state of being locked down and restricted.
Restricted, I think that's the thing. And then the more that happens, there's a coagulation that takes place almost that creates that stiffness, and then that can, you'll find yourself feeling stiff in the joints and being a bit achy and having tight muscles. This is what's happening from that response. But also you get that response from lying down in bed overnight when you get up in the morning, especially as we're aging. It's like, we're losing hydration perhaps as well. So it's like learning how to, learning and accepting this fascia network is such a global network that we can do so much with. And it's how we move, how we think about our body movement, what we put into it, and having a range of movements. So it's like not doing the same sort of yoga. If you had some favorite yoga poses that you did every day, that's great. And that would be hydrating certain parts and keeping that fascia in certain parts flexible, but it wouldn't be global enough. We need a range of movements to make sure we're getting that overall sort of softening and hydrating effect through the body.
The discussion I sort of found interesting about it was that it's like the and you know, this is a frontier in terms of research, but the idea is that aging is not so much the cause of the body slowing down, it's the body slowing down that causes aging.
Mm.
And so, and that from a fascia perspective, it's that if you stop moving, which we do, like you watch kids move and they roll and tumble and throw themselves about in all sorts of angles and funny directions because they play.
Yeah.
And adults don't. Yeah. Adults get up and, you know, if you're lucky, you do a bit of a stretch when you get out of bed, but probably not. You know, you walk to wherever it is, you know, to the kitchen to get your coffee, and then you walk to your car where you sit, and then you go to your walk to your desk where you sit. Mm. And at no point have you done a lateral bend in the spine. and then, you know, for example, and so what happens is that when you're sleeping, when you're stationary, the fascia builds up this kind of fuzz underneath it, and it becomes their adhesions, they stick.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to break those. It's like brushing away spider web.
But yeah, if that's it builds good. Up. Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, a little bit of glue might not be enough to hold a piece of paper to something, but if you put enough glue on, it will.
Yeah.
Eventually these adhesions build up, and if you don't ever stretch or move in certain ways, those adhesions will build. If you get injured, which, you know, that's just a matter of time. We all get injured at some point. Yeah. It's not a function some of degree. Aging. It's just a function of probability. Mm. Then you stop moving that body part. Maybe you quit the activity that caused it, and suddenly you're not, you know, that mobility is gone and you never get it back. Mm. And it's not because it was inevitable. It's because you stopped moving for too long and the fascia built up and like the fascial adhesions built up.
And then you get these postural patterns, new patterns that you tend to get stuck in almost. You can get stuck in these postural patterns of because of that tightness, because you're not...
So then we feel old and stiff. We're not stiff because we're old. We feel old because we're stiff.
Yes.
And you can fix the great thing, which I think will lead back to where you were going, Sarah, with having a range of movements, is that you can fix it.
You can fix it. And Kel and I were talking about this in the style of yoga that we both teach and use in our own life and for our own well-being is Dru Yoga. And they have some specific structures of a class. For example, we always do an activation, and the activations are free-flowing and fun. So you don't have to think about that you're putting your foot in the right place, that you've got it right. They are very free-flowing movements, and they consist of shaking, which is very much a trauma release sort of movement anyway that you see animals do, shaking through the whole body, or doing, which is that ancient form of self-massage where you make gentle fists and you're starting to sort of softly pummel over the body, those sorts of movements, and then flowing, twisting movements, flowing, stepping forward and back with the arms coming overhead movements, all those sorts of things. It's the repetitive sort of motion of that that's going to start to keep that fuzz at bay and free it up so that it's not adhering and getting stuck there. So that's one aspect of the Dru system of class structure that really works well. So you're freeing up, you could think of it, the activations, as fuzz freeing movements, couldn't you? And then once
it's almost
go on.
Sorry. And so it's almost like if you don't do anything else in your yoga practice, or you struggle to remember sequences and alignment points, and you're concerned about that, just do activations.
Yeah.
You know, like that will go so far for your overall well-being. That, you know,
and they can be very playful. You can be creative and playful with those. So if you do, you know, as you free up and get less inhibited in your body, let your body guide you. Where does it want to move? And start thinking about, take your awareness into beneath the skin, into that global network of fascia, and sort of can you feel from the inside out what's this doing? And expanding from your navel out to your fingers, down to your toes, up to the crown of your head, down to the tailbone, that's quite powerful. And that's a simple activation. You don't have to remember any alignment points because we get stuck on those. That's one thing about some of the yoga that's a little bit, you know, questionable. So moving on from the activation, the fuzz freeing, then Dru always start next with an energy block release sequence, of which they've got the foundational sequence, energy block release one. And if you've ever experienced that, it actually is pretty amazing in as far as it moves the body in all different planes of movement. So you're twisting, you're folding forward, you're back bending, you're stretching into the hamstrings, you're rotating through the arms, you're sort of focusing on the neck and the shoulders. It's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. I've always wondered before this recent dive into fascia, how the EBR1 sequence was felt like it was so much greater than the sum of its parts. You know, like mm-hmm. you could take any one of those exercises and act and practice it in isolation or even throughout the day, and it won't be the same as taking 5 or 10 minutes to go through the whole sequence at once.
Mm.
And I've always sort of gone, how is it that that is so powerful and freeing? And on more than just a physical level, it feels. And when I sort of discovered that actually fascia permeates your entire body, not just, you know, sheaths around muscles,
mm-hmm.
It makes sense. It's moving your fascia in all planes. And if you let your eyes, because your eyes also are connected to your fascial system, if you let them travel with the movement, so if your head roll goes down, take your eye movements down, take your eye movements up in the back bend, take them around when you go into your twists, you know, you can feel that in the eyeball almost, and so it's a very deep release across the entire body, and I think that's what makes it so powerful. It's freeing up this fascia system, which you know is a communication interface as well as just a connective tissue, you know.
Absolutely. So by the time you've done your activation and then you do your energy block release sequence, that's before you even start to get into any asana or sequence work. So you've done an awful lot before you get there. And this allows then that deeper work of the postures or the sequence that you've chosen to land in a much deeper place, in a much freer place. And then if you do those sorts of activations and EBRs first, then you can vary your range of sequences if you've got some favorite ones, or postures if you like, you know, trees, warriors, dancers. Rotate them around, free them up so that you're getting quite a nice variety and you're really moving the body in as many different ways and putting pressure on different joints and building that bone strength with different balancing positions as you can. And you're doing so much. You're doing so much for staying functional, which is really, you know, such an important aspect, especially as we do start to get older. We want to stay functional. We want this range of movement. And as Kelly said, it's not so much that we're getting old that stops us. It's that the body's ceasing up, not because of age, but because of our lack of awareness of we actually need to move. And we need to move in specific ways, in a variety of ways, to keep ourselves healthy, flexible, fluid, all those things. And the other thing is, it's there was an analogy that Tom Myers used, and he's an amazing man who's written the Anatomy Trains book, Tom Myers. And he does a lot of research into all these sorts of interesting things, functional movement. And he uses the analogy of keeping hydrated with the body moving like squeezing out a sponge, you know, those sort of chucks, not chucks, but those dishwasher sponges that you have, sponge type. And when you squeeze them out, it's like you're squeezing out. And this is what happens, say, if you're doing a side bend and you think about your kidneys getting a good squeeze on one side, it's like squeezing out the sponge of all the toxins and everything else. And then when you come back up straight again, it's like the sponge, just like when you've squeezed it out in your hand and then you let it go, it bounces back and it sucks up all the nutrients that are there to feed into the cells to rehydrate, re-nourish, replenish. So it's that squeeze and release that really sort of helps the whole fascia system. So that's why you want to move in as many different ways as you can. Think about the areas of your body as, oh, which sponges have a nice squeeze today? You know, you might... Have I moved, you know, have I moved through my hips? Have I bent sideways? Have I moved forward and back? Have I squeezed my toes in and out? You know, we often forget about our little joints and toes and fingers and wrists and like that. So that's quite an interesting sort of analogy to sort of think of that squeezing of the sponge and what that actually does.
I think the toes is a good one too, especially if you wear shoes all day. To, you know, keep your feet mobile and moving as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because that, as you know, as there are many ways you can connect things, and once you sort of think of fascia being a whole body communication system, suddenly the idea of reflexology being on the soles of your feet makes sense.
Yes.
You know, if you can look after your feet, that's the foundation.
Yes.
So that's where it all starts from in terms of your body being able to move. If your feet can't move, you're going to have a hard time moving anything else.
Definitely. And one simple thing you can do in the evening, and I do it myself, probably about 5 out of 7 evenings, I have just a tub of moisturizer or olive oil or some nice sort of moisturizer handy, and I give my feet a massage. Doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to be a massage therapist to massage your own feet. Again, just get each toe, hold each toe and just move it around. You know, just feel, just sort of circle it around within its joint movement there, and then just massage into it and give your feet some nourishment. We just recently spoke about feet, but you know, they're so vital.
Yeah.
They'll stop.
I mean,
you.
The whole body is. It's it is, you know, kind of go to where you don't go, I suppose. Be an explorer. Go to that unexplored territory. If you find that, you know, you actually do spend a lot of time rubbing hand cream on your hands, or maybe it's time to look after a different joint for today, you know.
So. Elbows, knees, feet, toes. Yeah.
Shoulders.
You know, there's a lot we can do.
Massage your scalp, you know.
Yes. Yeah.
It's an area that gets neglected as well. The extremities get neglected, I find.
Like,
sort of think of, and it was an interesting thing. We are nearly out of time, but when I was doing massage training, it was like everyone just sort of goes for the back, you know, that you sort of like, oh, don't leave the back massage. But actually, once you start working on a body out onto the limbs, down the legs or down the arms, it's amazing how much more relaxation you get. Mm. So you don't want to, you know, some people would actually say, oh, just do my back. I don't do anything else. And actually you get so much more when you move out into those other areas of the body.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So
same for your movement.
So fascia. Yeah. Just think of it in a new way. It's a very supportive and protective tissue. And it's so much more than just holding, you know, muscles, bones and organs in place. Mm-hmm. It's a global network. And, you know, I've even had it referred to as a global network of consciousness.
I've heard that too.
So that's
your whole body is conscious.
Mm.
We'll leave you to chew on that.
See you next week.
Will do. Thanks for listening.
Bye.